Okay, so tonight we are starting a new topic. Obviously, Mitzvah next week will be a Hanukkah-based topic. I think what I want to talk about next week for Hanukkah is based on other shurim that we've had. Again, I know we talked about the topic about using electric menorahs, and Michael can tell us what year we did. I don't remember. But I want to go back to that topic again because we spent so much time doing electricity with Shabbos. I thought it might be interesting to talk a little bit about it for Hanukkah. And we'll also talk about the issue with the different types of oil to use, the floating wicks and the frozen and the gel. We'll be glad to get to that in Mitzvah Shem for next week. So this is...
Speaking about electricity and Shabbos, did you see what I sent you right before?
I did see what you sent me, yes.
Okay, so just so everyone knows, they're opening up a hotel, yes. And they're talking about using analog locks and stuff like that down in Florida.
To fix everything.
Because it's going to be a completely kosher hotel, so there was in the real estate paper.
I was talking to a fellow who was telling me he spent Shabbos in a hospital with his mother, and then he stayed in a hotel. And he's telling me about all the shilas that can come up when you're in a hospital and when you're in a hotel. I said, really? I said, it's amazing to hear that. So he told me an interesting psak. He told me he met a Satmar Chassid. And the Satmar Chassid told him that Satmar Dayan told him that he's allowed to take an Uber to go visit his grandmother in the hospital on Shabbos morning. And the guy tells me, he says, I Pasha don't understand the psak. I said, why don't you understand the psak? What's so troubling? I said, it's a shvus to shvus l'tzarech t'chayla. If the chayla taka needs someone to be there with them, as we mentioned, sometimes patients being unattended in a hospital can be detrimental, so it's a shvus to shvus. You ask the guy to call the cab. It's not shvus to shvus. Again, driving is not a shvus, but I can hear it. It's not, I don't know if I'd give such a psak to someone, but I think if someone told me that there's a patient in the hospital that's going to be unattended, and they're going to be by themselves, and either the chayla is going to go crazy, or you're afraid they're not going to get good service, then I think it would be okay. I can hear it. I'm not saying I would paskin that way, but I can hear. And then he would start telling me what he did with his neiris. He told me that he wanted to light neiris Shabbos, so he lit neiris in the Bikur Cholim room, and he put the candles in the sink. I said, I thought the whole thing was crazy. Why don't you just light electric? We spoke about that already before, so I don't know. I told the guy, maybe you should listen to some of the shurim that we spoke about. But it made me feel good to know that these shalos do come up. You know, we talked about them in the theoretical, but Lamaisa, they do come up.
My wife ended up in the hospital.
Oh.
And she called me.
Yeah.
The little LED candles.
LED candles.
That I wish I would pay better
at. Yeah. So the shells do come up. You know, they definitely do come up. So we're switching gears now, and we're going to be focusing a little bit Yaradeya. So we did last year when we were on Zoom. We did a lot. We did some topics on Yaradeya. Maybe this year, maybe after Hanukkah, we'll go back to doing some more. One of the things I do want to talk about are the sinks, the halachic ramifications of a kosher sink. Maybe we'll get to this after Hanukkah. We'll see. But let's talk about a topic called Nat Bar Nat. Now, Nat Bar Nat's an abbreviation for Noisein Tam Bar Noisein Tam. Now, this is a very complex sugya with a lot to talk about. And I hope just to scratch the surface this week or give a basic overview for this week, and hopefully we'll get us into other topics later. So let's just remind ourselves from our Yaradeya days together. We know there's a principle in Yaradeya called Tam Ki Iker. Tam Ki Iker means if something tastes like something, that is if it's the thing itself. So let's say, for example, you have a piece of meat that gets cooked right next to a piece of something dairy, and that dairy gets infused into the basar. So that's called tam ki ikar, and eating that would be problematic, would be asr. Now there's another way for tam to be infused, not only from food to food, but tam gets infused into walls, into plates, into pots. That's called tam gets, that's what we call belias. It gets absorbed into the walls of a pot, it gets absorbed into the walls of a plate, and the only way it comes out is through hagol. When you kasher something or you do libun, that's how you get those blias out. Like say we have with Pesach. You have in a pot, you have chametz gets absorbed into the pot, and you have to get it out with either hagol or libun, depending on how it got absorbed. Kibloya kach polte. So that is what the Gemara calls tam ki ikar. Now, we also remember from our days of Yaradeya that there's something called a ben yoyma and an ena ben yoyma. Ben yoyma means a pot was used within 24 hours for whatever the gender you're talking about, for ichiks or milchiks. And there's something called an ena ben yoyma, which means it wasn't used for more than 24 hours. Now, again, a ben yoyma is an issue de'iraisa. An ena ben yoyma is only rabbinic issue. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that an ena ben yoyma is also gzeiro atu ben yoyma. They prohibit you from using a kli that's more than 24 hours, because after 24 hours, the tam, the taste that's absorbed in the walls, becomes stale. It becomes pogum. So that's why after 24 hours, that's why very often, whenever you have a bas b'chalav shayla, the rav is always going to ask you, well, when was the last time it was used? And you're like, why does he care? Like, and what I had for supper is none of his business either, right? The answer is because the halachic status of the kelim vary very much between being what's called a ben yoyma and being an ena ben yoyma. We'll talk about it even in our sugya, not bar not. It plays a very, very important role as well. And the last thing that we have to remind ourselves is when learning this part of Yaradeya is that in order for tam to be infused into a kli or really into anything, there has to be a heat source. So let's say, for example, let's say I have a fleishika pot and I pour into it an entire bowl of milk into the pot and nothing gets cooked. It's just the milk sits in the pot for less than 24 hours because there's another principle in Yaradeya called kavush. If something is kept and stored for more than 24 hours, then it also can get bleus. We spoke about that when we did our sugya on sherry cask. Because one of the issues with the sherry cask is that they store the stam yenum in these big casks. That's the sherry casks. There's no cooking, there's no heat. But the Gemara says if you leave something long enough, kavush, if you leave it, it becomes like it was the bleus kept that way. So that's how the sherry cask bleus become a problem. Because they have these major, major casks that they store sherry wine. That sherry, S-H, not C-H, not cherry, sherry wine, that stam yenum, which is also midr abonon, then they take those same casks and they pour scotch in it. And they have the scotch sitting there for whatever amount of years, or whatever, depending on the year that you buy. And that's the idea of sherry cask. So the problem is, so the bleus that get absorbed into the walls, into the wine, come back out when you put the schnapps into it. That's the basic issue. So here also, if you have a pot that had in it hot fleishiks, let's say, for example, you made hot meatballs in a pot, so for the next 24 hours, in the walls of the pot, it has tam of meatballs, a tam fleishiks, and if I put anything else hot, or if the pot got hot and something is in there, that would become bas v'chav. So let's say, for example, just to make it simple, let's say I had a pot that I made the meatballs in, and then 15 minutes later after I made the meatballs, I cleaned the pot out and I cooled down the pot, and then I want to make macaroni and cheese. So I take cheese and I put it into the pot with milk and it gets bubbling and hot. That's mamish basa b'chalav over there. Because the tam comes into the chalav. That's basa b'chalav. That's a serious problem. That would be usher to eat. You'd have to kasher the pot. It'd be a ganz to find a mess.
But if the after meatballs waited 24 hours.
So if you waited between the meatballs and the macaroni and cheese 24 hours, so that would be only a rabbinic problem, not a deraisa problem, which again, still be a problem, but it'll be less of a problem.
Now, when we say this about Ben Yomer, I'm assuming that means that the pot was cleaned relatively quickly after it was used for the meatballs. Meaning, if let's say you made the meatballs and for whatever reason you didn't soak the pot and you left it for 10, 12 hours. So is this the halacha still a Ben Yomer fly?
Ben Yomer means when it was used for hot.
Yeah, so, but what I'm saying is, would it make a difference whether it was cleaned immediately afterwards or not?
Again, cleaning is not going to get any bleus out. Cleaning just gets mamoshes out.
So when you talk, it would help as far as
not the bleus.
Crusted in there for 10 hours, it probably goes into the walls.
Things go into the walls only through heat. So if it's not, again, it might be kovish if you leave it for 24 hours, but if it's less than 24 hours, so then it's the same. So generally in Bas B'chal, there's two issues. There's mamoshes, actual substance left. So all the sugars of Nachbarnat is talking about where there's no issues of mamoshes. Everything's clean. But bleus, you can't see bleus. Bleus are absorbed into the walls. You can't see. And that's what we always joke about before Pesach. We always joke about whether or not you have to sell the bleus in your pots to the guy. So we always joke. Well, what type of market would there be for bleus? Who wants to buy something you can't see? But there are people that every year, there's always someone who asks me that I want to sell the bleus in my pot. I said, what are you selling the bleus in the pots for? No one wants it. Yeah.
And if you clean it with a temperature hotter than the cooking?
What do you mean by that, if you clean it?
You put it in a dishwasher.
Okay, so that's a separate question. Would that constitute kashering it?
Even though it's not a pure kashering.
Right, so that's right. So that we're going to have to at some point get into how that would work. So if you have a regular fleishik pot that was used for hot fleishiks, so then the walls of the pot are now infused with tam basar. If you then would put in something that would have heat of milchik, that would come out into it. That's the basic premise of what we need to know for today's show. The other last nikuda to the hakdama is how hot does it have to be? This is a shayla that happens all the time. All the time when people are dealing with bas b'chalav and hot things. Again, most of the shaylas in our kitchen are bas b'chalav. We don't really have pig floating around our kitchen and bacon and things like that. So most of the things are what's called hetera. Bas b'chalav, although it sounds funny, but a lot of it's going to be hetera because basar is heter and chalav is heter. Just when they come together, they create a little bit of a problem. So how hot does it have to be? So let's say, for example, this happens all the time. Someone starts cooking something, they realize midway, it's the wrong thing. It's basar, it's chalav, what do I do? So they stop in the middle. So if it never reaches yatzer ledes, which is what we found for Shabbos, so then there's no infusion of tam without the temperature of yatzer ledes. Now, how hot is yatzer ledes? So when we did this sugya on Shabbos, we went through all the different shitas. So I think that today most people assume under 110 degrees is not yatzer ledes. Now, you won't always be able to measure your food with a temperature marker, but usually it has to do with the touch of hands. So let's say, for example, someone calls up, I put this in this, and then I realized, how'd you get the food out? I took it with my hand. So it probably wasn't Yatsu Ladis. Let's say, for example, you quickly realize you take it out of the oven, and you realize it didn't get hot enough because you took it out with your hand. So obviously it's not Yatsu Ladis. Your hand didn't pull back. You have no problem holding it in your hand. So that's something you have to keep in mind that it has to reach a temperature of about 110. So again, but most of the things, when you make meatballs in your pot, the pot probably got to that degrees, so therefore the pot got absorbed with what we call tam basar. Then when you'd cook in it milchiks, that would be tam basar, mixing with milchiks, it's mamish tam ke'ikr, that's a big problem of basar b'chal. Tonight, Shir, we're going to talk about what's called secondary tam, not bar nat, meaning noising tam, bar noising tam, which means it's going to be all secondary tam experiences. So let's see how this works out. So there's a Gemara in Chulin, a very, very small Gemara, jammed packed with a lot of goodies over it. Now the truth is, if you want to do not by not, you really got to learn it like for an entire Zman. Like, you know, there's so much Rishayim over here, a lot of Achrayim, a lot of Lumdish discussions and Halachic discussions, but we're going to do it the very basic, as basic as we can for this evening. So the Gemara says like this, Chulin Kuf Yud Alef Amid Beis. Itmar. Dogim Sha'olu Bika'ara. Fish that are put onto a plate. What's the storyline over here? So this is also a big shaila. Rashi learns, and the pashtus of the Gemara is you had a hot piece of fish that you took straight off the grill, and you put it onto a flay sugar plate. A clean flay sugar plate. But that flay sugar plate was used within 24 hours for hot meat. But now it's clean. You have a clean flay sugar plate, that's ben yoyim. What does it mean it's a ben yoyma? That means within 24 hours, I had hot fleishiks on this plate, which means that there's absorbed into the walls hot fleishiks. So we all know whenever something hot comes to something, so that bleas come out. So I take the hot piece of fish and I put it onto the plate. So what just happened? So the bleas of the plate come out into the fish. So now into this fish is now injected tam basar. So right away, I'm waiting for someone to ask me, that's asar because we don't eat fish and meat because of tzaras. Right? We don't eat fish and meat because... Right, so that's a Gemara. That the Gemara says. But the Achrayna point out, we're putting that aside for now. Yeah, we'll get to that. Also again tonight, we'll chazza that one more time tonight. So that the Taz says, put on the side for now. That's not our sugya now. That's whatever that is, we'll put aside for now. We'll come back to it later. Focus now on basa b'chol. So again, you have a piece of fish that just got imbued with tam basa. Okay, so no problem. Says the Gemara, but I want to eat it with koitech. What's koitech? Kaitech was a very popular milchika dish. So basically, you want to put the sour cream on this piece of fish now. No, it's a type of milchika dish. That's just an example. I'm using sour cream. I have no idea if people put fish in sour cream. I have no idea. But the extent of my fish is gefilte, which is not that exciting. And usually served cold, not hot. But salmon, you have a hot piece of salmon. Let's say you have a hot piece of salmon that came straight out of the oven. And the first place you put it is on a flay sugar plate. And then you realize, it's a flay sugar plate. Or you put it into a flay sugar bowl. Again, the plate is cold. There's no heat coming out of the plate, but your piece of fish is hot. So now your piece of fish goes onto the plate. So now the bleas are extracted from the plate. The plate is a ben yoyma. The plate was used 10 minutes ago for a hot steaming piece of steak. And now I take that piece of fish and put it on the plate. So what do I have over here? So I have the bleas, I have the tam of the meat just went into the piece of fish. And now I want to take this piece of fish and eat it with milchiks. It would be less problematic. We'll see how less. It might even be mutter. It's a machloikis. How to read a Rama, which we'll get to at some point. It might be mutter, but definitely a lot better. Definitely a lot better. Plate's clean. No mamushes. Spot clean, just bleas. Right, we'll see. The Shulchan Aruch writes it out like that. No, plate's clean. No mamushes. You cleaned it perfectly, but it's got bleas. You can't clean bleas unless you kasher it. So what do you do now? So that's a machloikis. Rav and Shmuel. Rav Omar Asu Lechlum B'Chaytich. Rav says you can't eat it. Why? Because the tam of the basar, it's a shtickle story over here. The tam basar was absorbed in the plate, and then it came out into the fish. So now the fish has tam basar. You can't eat tam basar with milchiks. That's Rav's logic.
The fact that it's a plate, it's a plate sugar plate, it's not a plate sugar pot. So you only put meatballs into the plate. It's not like you're cooking on it.
Oh, good, good, good. Very good, very good. That's a very good point, which we'll see in the Rishayim. Good, that's a very big nekuda. That they're mechalik between a plate, which has no source of heat, as opposed to a pot that gets heated up. We'll see that in Rishayim.
We have to add the milchik part, isn't it the problem?
Yes. So the Taz is going to say, what about the problem, else meat and fish? Right. So we're going to get to that in a second. The Taz is put it aside for now. Well, that's what the Taz, well, I'll show you. The Taz writes like that.
And if the fish was cold, there wouldn't be any problem?
The fish would be cold, there'd be no problems, because no tam is transferred without heat.
And does the fish have to be yatsalet about to bring out the...
Yeah. Now, there is another cheshmet over here.
If you let the fish sit there, you're crazy, and letting it sit there for 24 hours. Would that be a problem?
So that would perhaps be a problem. And this is really a problem with salad dressings. I know my wife puts salad dressings in these little containers, and they can sit for a gazunt amount of time.
Right.
So if you were to take a salad dressing, theoretically, well, Kveg is going to talk about it later on, I put it on the sheet. So let's say you have a salad dressing that you put in a milchik, the problem is that if you put it into a milchik dish that was just used for milchiks, and now you want to pour it over a fleishik salad, you might run into problems.
But it's cold.
No, but it's kavush. It's kavush, right? I leave it in for 24 hours. I leave it there for 2 weeks. I leave it sitting in that, so now it absorbs the tam. But there's a little bit of a chap over here, right? Because in order to be kavush, it has to be 24 hours. Once it's after 24 hours, the pas not even ben yom anymore. So you have to time it
exactly. It's
when you start. Right. Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. But that's from Kvegu. Hopefully we'll come back to that. So according to Rav, problem. This is a mamish, tam basar, tam kiker, usher to eat it together. Shmuel says mutter. So the Gemara explains, Rav, I'm asr naisin tamu. Is give again, the plate gave the tam into the fish. The fish, again, the meat gave tam into the plate. The plate put the tam into the fish. The fish has tam basr now. You can't eat it with milchiks. Very simple. Shmuel oime mutter. Why? Naisin tam bar naisin tam. It's too many steps removed. It's secondary tam. Since the tam didn't come directly from the piece of meat, it wasn't like you cooked the fish with the meat. You cooked the meat was on the plate. The plate got the tam. The fish went on the plate. It absorbed the tam. So it's too many steps removed, and therefore it's mut. That's the end of the Gemara. Now, the Rishonim point out, we paskin like Shmuel. We paskin, noisin tam, ba noisin tam is mut. Now, we'll come to it later, we'll see it inside, but there is a discussion in the Rishonim that this is called noisin tam, ba noisin tam dehetera. Why is it a tater? Because everything in the storyline is pretty much mutter. Let's say, for example, you'd have a piece of pork that fell into a pot, and it cooked into the pot. Fine. So the bleus of the pork get absorbed into the pot. So now you have a balua. Then I would cook, let's say, noodles in that pot. So the bleus go into the noodles. Then I would take those noodles and cook it into another pot. That next pot also becomes treif, because everything gets absorbed and it keeps on going, keeps on going, keeps on going. So by Isura, we don't say Nat Barnat. We only say Nat Barnat de Heter. Again, most of us in our homes are not going to experience Isura, but it just, you have to mention that. Whenever you talk about Nat Barnat, it has to be what's called Nat Barnat de Heter, as opposed to Nat Barnat de Isura. Piece of pig. Piece of pig falls into your pot and cooks up. So then it's blue into the walls of the pot. So then if you would put... It never comes out, right. So then you would put macaroni in that pot. So the tam goes into the macaroni. Then you take that macaroni and put it into another pot. So that pot becomes treif, because it goes out of the macaroni and into the pot. Chagadja, chagadja. So at some point you're going to hit shishim, which is what the Mepharshim point out. But in theory you can keep going on and on, because it keeps on balu.
But by not
bar not, at some point we say it's too many steps removed. Okay. So by Yisura it keeps on going. Okay. Now, here's a very important machloikis mishayim. What's the case in the Gemara? The case in the Gemara was a plate. Now a plate is not... There's no heat now. The plate had something hot on it, but the plate never got hot like a pot. So if you look in Rashi number 2, Rashi writes over, what's the case? Dogim sha'alu b'ka'ara. Minatzli. You took it off the grill. Right? You had a piece of fish grilling on a grill. You took that piece of fish and you put it onto a plate. Kishahi reichsim was boiling hot. Noisnam the toicha ka'ara sha'achal babasa. You put it on a plate, then you ate meat. So then the plate is a clean plate. But it was used for fleishik within 24 hours. And now I put a steaming piece of fish on it. Fine. Zokter Ashi also lechem b'chaytich l'fisha basa. And I said, behem tam. Because the basa gave tam into the plate. And then when the fish goes on the plate, that tam goes into the fish. Zokter Ashi, noisin tam, noisin tamu. This is important, Zokter Ashi. Im hayu muvu shalom im basar mamish. Let's say I cook the fish on the same grill with the meat. So then how did the tam really got infused into the piece of fish, Zakrashi? Then how you also lechem b'chaytich. Then avada, that would be not noisin tam bar noisin tam. That would be one direct one. That would be tam go straight from the basar into the fish, and now I'm eating a shtick piece of fish. When I'm eating this piece of fish, it's like I'm eating steak. I can't eat it with milk. Inami. Zot Rashi, or Moed Shmuel she'asa lechol cholav reiseach bikara. Let's say I'd have hot milchiks on the plate. The noisin tam rishain have a kibasa gomer. Again, whenever the thing originally cooked together with something, then it's a much higher level of transfer of tam. Avol ka'arizu he ats me ene basar. This plate is not meat. This plate only got tam basar from it before. Elo al yidei noisin tam ve'ene kibasar. So Rashi's pointing out that in this case, things are a lot better because the plate itself was a secondary source of tam. The plate is not basar. The plate got basar, so meaning at some point tam starts to weaken. So again, you started off with a hot piece of meat that went on a plate, so the plate absorbed it from the meat, and now the fish absorbed it from the plate. So what's the assumption in our head? At some point, it gets weaker as time goes on.
Almost sounds like
right, the same idea we have by heat, with a klirish and a klisheni. Things lower as the more times they're applied.
So,
yeah.
In such a case, would it make a difference whether the plate is, let's say, an earthenware plate, a glass?
So, of course, there are certain things, 100%. Certain kalim are not balua, right? Like we had a whole share once about glass. Glass is a big machloikis rishayin, and what's the deal with glass?
Well, how about if the plate, let's say, sort of
retains the heat? Right. We're talking about cases over here where these plates are all devarim that are balua. Yeah, enachrami. You'd have to know what the story.
It's a glass plate, it's no problem.
Depending on who you ask, Ashkenazim versus Sephardim. For Sephardim it wouldn't be such a problem. For Ashkenazim it would be a bigger problem.
Why? Can't we use the same glasses we said for milk in places? We don't, but then...
Sephardim could use the same glass because Sephardim hold that glass is not balua. It doesn't absorb anything.
We can't?
No, Ashkenazim are machmer. It's a shayla what we're machmer for. There are more rites like that in Hilchos Pesach.
What
do you want to do?
I didn't ask this question. Somebody else once asked, a friend of mine, if you have too many fleishik and glasses after Shabbos, they're not really fleishik. They use them when you're eating fleishik.
That's a separate question. You're asking two different questions. The first question was, we're talking about real fleishik glasses. So real fleishik glasses is not a problem for Sephardim because they hold nothing's ever balua. So now you ask a different question. Are our glasses really fleishik? That's a separate question. The answer is they're probably not really fleishik because you don't really put hot soup into your glass.
No, that's a separate question. You're eating soda or water while you're eating your fleishik.
Right, that's not a problem. Right.
So it's not a problem to put in milk with your dishwasher after.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not fleishik. I just said that your glasses are not fleishik. This we spoke about a couple times. We spoke about this. We spoke about this before Pesach a lot. But in any case, so yes, the Sfaradim have a different take on glass. But in any case, obviously we're talking about in the Gemara where the plate is balua, where the plate is able to absorb the tam basar. Okay, now let's see the Rashba over here. We don't always get into the Rishayim when we learn Tuesday night, but there's an important Rashba. There's a lot of Rishayim to see over here. There's a Gevaldik Aran, there's a Ramban, there's a lot of goodies over here. But we got to keep moving. Zok the Rashba. Dogim shalu bikara. The noisin tam by noisin tamu. Why? She'ena mikabel tam min amamush. Because you have to remember, it's not getting the tam from the original source. When the fish absorbs the tam, it's not getting the tam from the piece of meat. It's getting the tam from a plate who got it from a piece of meat. El ha'ka'ara kablo tam min abasar. V'hadogim kiblu tam min ha'ka'ara. V'adayin abasar v'hadogim heter v'heter. Both those two things are both permissible things. Now when I take that piece of fish and I dip it into the sour cream, so before it gets mixed into the milchiks, it's secondary tam. Meaning, it got its tam from the plate, who got it from the meat, and the fish got it from the plate. So Frekti Rashba, who cares? We paskin tam ki ikr. So Frekti Rashba, if tam ki ikr, who cares how many times it gets traveled down? Says the Rashba, "Vafilu man domer tam osra teira ki ikar la'asa taruvasoi that it can asra a mixture hanimili tam rishin. That's only if it got it from the original source. Kigoyin hadetan kedei rishin bishul babasar. What's the classical example of tam ki ikar? A pot. I cooked meatballs in a pot. Then a minute later, I cooked milchiks in the pot. So then I mamish took the tam basar went straight into the milk. Lo yivashenu babuchol. I can't cook in milk." Aval tam sheni ain't bakoyach l'asa acherim. But tam sheni, secondary tam, that's noisin tam bar noisin tam, means it's secondary tam. It's not directly. Because again, how did the fish get tam basar? Not from basar. It got it from a plate. Who got it from the basar? So it sounds like from this Rashba that it doesn't have the ability to answer other things. There's a big chakira over here in how noisin tam bar noisin tam works. Is the pshat that there just is no tam? Meaning tam stops at some point? the tam doesn't go from the plate into the fish? Or no, avada, the tam does technically transfer, but that tam doesn't have the kayach to aser. A little bit of a, I call it a chakira. Meaning, is there really, meaning when I eat my piece of fish, am I going to taste meat? If I knew how tam tastes, like the Gemara says, there's an armoy. Armoy is an expert. Kfeil armoy, goyish expert. He knows how to tell tam. Now, if some guy would really have a very sensitive palate, would he tell me, ah, I taste the meat in the fish? Or not? Or he would tell me, no, there's no way you could taste meat. That's too many steps removed.
If you put the kutach
yeah.
on this plate, same plate, does that do anything to the plate?
The milchiks?
Yeah.
The milchiks could be cold. Now again, the problem over here is that my fish is looked at like a piece of meat, so I can't eat it together with the milchiks. The question is, if I bit into that fish, would I taste basar? So that's a shiloh.
Maybe
yeah. So we'll see that there is a marshal. The marshal holds, if you bite into that fish and you say, ah, basar? Asar. Even according to Shmuel. Even Shmuel, that's not the noisim tam, but noisim tam is only if there's no tam basar. But if there's taka tam basar, even Shmuel holds it's asar. We do not paskin like that. We paskin, not like the marshal. We paskin, even if you bite, again, a lot of it's academic because I don't know how much of us would taste anything. But if you talk about a very sensitive palate, you know what you're tasting, and you say to yourself, "My mom, I'm telling you, I taste basar. It's still mutter because noisim tam by noisim tam is mutter." So this Rashba sounds like that not by not is mutter because that tam is so kalush, it's so weak, it doesn't have the ability to ask for something else. Yeah.
Is this the Gemara specifically chose fish as an example, which is a little different? We were discussing fish and something else. Would we still say this is getting weaker?
Yeah. I think there would be the same thing if it would be a dove or parv. If you look in the contemporary svarim, when they talk about this, their example is usually not fish. Their example is parv. Like the example I like to use, just to make this more clear, would be, let's say, something like noodles. Right? Noodles is a great parv of food that can go with either genders. You can have noodles. I know my house, we're big noodles people. You can have noodles with fleishiks. You can have noodles with meat. They can have noodles with cheese. So noodles is a very, very, very perfect example of a dove or parv. So let's say, for example, you cook noodles in a fleishika pot with the intention of using it for fleishika supper. So you had a pot that you used 5 minutes ago to make. This happens to me. You make meatballs in one pot. 10 minutes later, you wash out the pot and you cook up a pot of noodles. Noodles are parif, but they were just cooked in a fleishika pot less than 24 hours. And then that was the Monday night supper. Tuesday night, you say you have leftovers, you put it in the fridge. And Wednesday night, one kid says, I want the noodles for Monday night, but I want it with cheese. There's always one kid who wants it, but with cheese, fine. So what do you do with that? That's mamish not manat. Because again, the noodles were cooked in the fleishika pot. The fleishika pot put the tam into the noodles. And now if I'm going to eat those noodles with cheese, I'm eating... No. Not when it was cooked. It absorbed in it now. So according to Shmuel, before we get into all the complications, strictly speaking, if we just pass it off the gemara, we say no problem. But we'll see. It's definitely not so pushy.
Tasted meat with the cheese.
So according to the marshal, if when I bit into that noodle, I taste basar out. We don't pass like the mashal. So let's say, for example, you bite in, again, I can't imagine you would, but let's say you would, you'd eaten that noodle, you say to yourself, I could taste that, you know, that meatball taste from the previously used pot. Again, the pot was clean, so according to the mashal, it would be also, according to everyone else, it would still be mutter. Okay, now, let's continue. So there's another Taisvis. Taisvis quotes over here from Rashi, from his son-in-law, the Rivon. He writes, B'shem Rashi, Pirish Rivon, number 4, Choisnoi, his son-in-law, Davka Alusharu. Again, what was the case of the Gemara? The case of the Gemara was it was a plate. So Rashi points out, why was the case Davka? Well, the Rivan says B'shem Rashi. We don't know if Rashi said himself, because we'll see it's a steer in Rashi between the Rivan's version of Rashi and what we have of Rashi. But in any case, the Rivan says, according to Rashi, what was the case of the Gemara, a plate? He says there was a reason why the Gemara picked the case of a plate. Because that's the only time you say not bar not is if it's a plate. Avod Mizbashlu? Aser. Let's say it wouldn't be a plate, but it would be a pot with this cooking taking place. Again, there's no cooking on a plate. But let's say it'd be something like a pot that you cook with. Then, that's only one time. That's not second, that's not two times. Meaning we learned that when you have a hot piece of meat that goes on a plate, so the meat goes into the plate, and then the fish gets it from the plate. So that's two levels. Says Rashi, what happens if it's a hot pot? A hot pot that cooks meatballs, and that hot pot's going to cook something? That's not two, that's one. And therefore, says the Rivon, that would not be not banat, and that would be aser. That's Rashi's chiddush, supposedly according to his son-in-law. Now, if you look in the Rashba, The Rajba speaks about this. He writes, there are those that hold that the whole nat bar nat is only when you have a hot piece of something going on a cold plate. Why? Because again, you got to get that blias out of the pot, out of the plate. How are you going to get it out? Because you have a hot piece of fish? That's not enough. If the plate itself would be hot, that would be a lot easier to get it out. So says the Rajba, some Rishayim hold, which is what we saw B'Shem Rashi, is that when you want to get Blias out, you need to have that the plate itself is also hot. In the case of the Gemara, the plate was cold. So since in the case of the Gemara, the plate was cold, that's why it's watered down. Aval, in this Bashle, Mamish Bikara, but if I had to cook that piece of fish in a pot that was used to cook fleishiks, also Le'echlo Mechaytich, then I would definitely not be allowed to eat with milchitz. Mishum the koyach ve'esh maflit ma'moshe shel roitev anivlo b'karo. Because the power of the heat, the pot gets hot, that makes the blias come out stronger, and they get infused into the fish better, and that would ask the fish to be eaten with the milchitz. Davikilu kibla tam menarishin. It's like it got the tam from a first source, not a secondary source. That's the chiddush of these rishayim. So that's the second thought in rishayim. So far we have when do we say not bar nat is mutter? Is not bar nat mutter only in a case where it's a plate? Which again, in our kitchen, would be extremely not so relevant. It would be negay. Let's say, for example, you cook a piece of fish, and then you need a place to put it. And you just throw it on a plate somewhere, and the plate you picked happened to have been a fleishig plate. So then, that's the discussion of not bar nat. But if I cooked it in a fleishig pot, that's not bar nat, that's for sure going to be awesome. So let's say my example with the noodles, wouldn't be negeya, because I cooked it in a fleishig pot. If it's cooked, it's for sure going to give off tam.
You put this hot piece of fish on this fleishig plate.
Yeah.
But the plate was not used within 24
yeah.
hours.
So we're going to see the depends. The simple reading of the Ramon Shulchan Aruch is it's not a problem at all. The question is, what does that mean? Does that mean I lechatchila can do it? So let's say, for example, I'm making Monday night supper, which is going to be noodles and meatballs. And I know that the pot is Ein Ben Yom, and I know in the back of my head I'm going to have a kid in 2 nights who's going to want to eat this with milchiks. Can I do that? Or that's also not allowed. We'll see, that's a big machlokes. What does lechatchila b'diavad mean in that case?
No, I mean, lechatchila, don't do it. But b'diavad, if you did it, it's 2 days later, then it would be mutter. You know?
The question is, when does lechatchila b'diavad start?
After the time you start to cook.
When I make noodles...
When you make the spaghetti and meatball Monday night, right?
I put it in an Ein Ben Yoyim pot.
What?
I put it in an Ein Ben Yoyim pot.
Right, at 5:30.
Right. It doesn't matter. It's Ein Ben Yoyim. It's irrelevant right now. It's an Ein Ben Yoyim pot. We can move on. Now 2 nights later, when I pull it out of my fridge, I say, you know what? I want to put cheese on it. So that's ready. That I can't do, right?
No, because when we say rosach, what's it called when it absorbs? It sat there for 2 days in your fridge.
No, that's fine. It sat in an aluminum pan. It's only if it would sit in the actual dish would be a problem.
I'm confused. Didn't you say
kavush is only a problem when it sits in a fleishig or a milchik pot? Over here, I made it in the pot, I'm talking about when you put the salad dressing in a fleishig pot, and then you want to turn around and put it into a milchik salad. That's when it's a problem. But over here, I made the rules. I put them in an aluminum fan. There's going to be no issue of kavush over here. Okay, so let's see. So let's look at the Tor. The Tor gives us a nice sikum of the shittas. He writes, Dogim roischin miyad la'achash esol kamenesh. Hot piece of fish. Right after it's taken off the fire. Shenosim bikarot senenesh albasar. You put it into a cold plate. Oisha dogim tzaynanim. Let's flip the case. The fish is cold. V'haka'aru reiseches. And it's a hot plate. Okay, I'm not, it's a funny case to have a hot plate, but okay, I don't, whatever the case may be, you have a plate that got heated up. So again, you always have to have a heat source. So the easiest case is that the fish is hot. That means the fish is yatzilad. It's a hot, gezunt, a hot piece of fish, and you put it on a cold, fleishig plate. That's the case of the Gemara. Says the Tor, then, mutol oichlom b'chol. Then you can eat that, see, he takes out koitich, he puts it with milk. Let's say you want to drink that with milk. You want to drink that with milk. Again, the truth is these shilas come up. So let's say, for example, you got to make a large amount of food. You got to make for a simcha or something, and you just don't have the right pot. You don't have the right, you know, meaning you have a huge pot for noodles, but only for fleishiks. And then you want to turn around and serve that, you know, at your Hanukkah party, Matzah Shabbos, with cheese. So that's when these shilas do come up, lamaisa, because, you know, I need a big pot to make noodles, and the only big pot I have is a fleishik pot. Or vice versa, whatever the case may be. So here, so the Torah says you're allowed to eat. That's our Gemara. Aval in this bashel be kederish al basar. But if it was cooked in a kederish al basar, meaning let's say I made it in a pot, not on a plate, osru le'echlo b'cholav, I would not be allowed to eat b'cholav. That's what we saw in the Rashba. Zokta tovei Rashi madra afilu is bashel be kederish al basar. And Rashi permitted that. Oh, really? That's not what Tosfos told us from Rashi's son-in-law. So that's why it's a shtickle steer over here. Rashi, Tosfos told us from the Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law, that Rashi held no. That if it's going to be in the same pot, it's a problem. It's only okay if it's a plate. And here the Torah, and we saw it really in Rashi in source number two. Rashi seems to hold, not like that. Rashi seems to hold that as long as it's not cooked together, I don't care how else it's cooked, it would not be a problem. So Rashi's shita is up for debate. Then the Torah continues. Now we have a third sheet in the Rishonim. Now we differentiate between cooking and roasting. What's the difference between cooking and roasting? The cooking means there's a water in between. I mean, the water is in the pot, and the water gets hot, and there's water that's an intermediary between the heat and the cooking, as opposed to roasting with straight fire. What's that chiluk based on? So the Torah explains that kiven shenitzlu b'loy mayim, since this thing was roasted without water, kiblu tam basim ikrakli. Because again, if I put something on a grill, so then the heat source is directly from the grill. If something is using water, so how does it work? It means the water gets hot, and the wool takes the tam from the wool into the water, and into the water, into my food. So there's again another step in between. But when you're roasting, or there's no water in between, it's much more direct. Okay, so that's another chiluk. And that's what the Rush holds. That bishul is different than tzli. Bishul would be okay. But if it'd be tzli, if it'd be roasted with no water in between, then it would be a problem. Okay, how do we paskin? How do we paskin with all this? Three shitas rishonim. The most machmedika shita is what Rashi is quoted from his son-in-law, which the Torah brings down such a shita, is that what? That anything that's cooked or roasted is not noisin tam ba noisin tam. Not ba is only when you're talking about a plate, where there's no cooking taking place now. But if I cook in a pot that was cooked fleishik, and now I'm cooking pariv, that's not ba not. Which basically throws out almost all our not ba nots in our house. Then there's the shita of the other rishayim that say, no, it doesn't make a difference. Then there's the third shita that differentiates between roasting versus cooking. Cooking with water, it doesn't matter. Cooking, roasting, then it would matter. How do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch number 7, Zakta Mechab. If you want to look up inside, you want to know what Simon and Shulchan Aruch not bar not heavily is, and the answer is Simon Sadi Hei. Simon Sadi Hei is where it discusses not bar not. Says the Mechab, Dogim Shen is Bashlu, fish that were cooked. Oy Shenitzlu, or were roasted, B'kdeirish Abasar. Okay, not a plate, in a pot. Fish that was cooked in a fleishig pot. Says the Mechab, Ruchutzi Yafa, if it was washed well, which means there's no mamashes. She'ein shun shomen davik ba. There's no pieces of actual flesh clinging to the walls, but there's no mamashes. Mutter lo oichla mechaytech. You're allowed to eat it with chaytech. So how did the mechaba paskin? The mechaba paskin lekula. Whether it's roasted, whether it's cooked, whether it's in the pot, it doesn't matter. It's noising time by noising time, not by not. So according to the mechaba, those noodles cooked in a fleshiga pot that was cooked in fleshiga meatballs would not be a problem. It would be mutter. Because that's what we call noisin tam bar noisin tam. Dehetera. Because it's all mutter. Says the mechaber v'mloy hoisa ruchutzi yafa. And what happens if the pot was not washed well? So im yesh b'mam shal panek deir, if there's actually substance on the face of the pot, yoisim echa b'shishim, more than shishim, then it's going to be a problem. Okay. Most of our kelim are clean. Most of the places can say today, your average kli is assumed to be clean. We don't leave kelim with like huge dirt marks and things over them. So most of our kelim are clean. So how did the mechaber paskin? Extremely lenient. The Mechaber is very lenient and not banat. The Mechaber holds pretty much everything will be not banat that teru. So if I have a fleshiga meatball pot that 10 minutes ago I cooked hot meatballs in it, and 10 minutes later I want to cook noodles in it, strictly speaking, reading the Mechaber, it would sound like I can eat that with milchiks. That's not banat. Right?
It's very clear why you
said that. No, I'm just saying. That. Now, where do things get lebedik? Where things get interesting over here is number 9. Now, number 8 is... Okay, the Ramah does mention it. The Mechaber does not mention it. That's a good point. The Ramah does mention it.
No, right.
We're talking about over here, even if it is Ben Yoyma. Yeah. This is, again, not Barnat is when it is Ben Yoyma. So it's not a gear for the Mechaber because he's already maker when it's Ben Yoyma. Kosher came when it's not Ben Yoyma.
So in your case, when the noodles 2 days later, which
cheese.
It would sound like. According to the Mechaber, it sounds like it's mutter, right?
It sounds like 5 minutes later.
Yeah, no, it could be tomorrow also. It doesn't have to be time. According to the Mechaber, once it's not barnat, which means, again, I have a fleshig pot that got heat, that got absorbed from the meatballs, then I cooked the noodles, so the noodles get it from the pot, who got it from the meatballs, it felt like a chagaj over here, right? Who got it from that, he said, then I want to eat that with cheese. It's not barnat, it would be mutter.
Maybe this is where the chakvila comes in.
Yes.
Can you...
Exactly. That's what I want to get to right now. Can I plan this all out? Can I plan out to cook noodles in a not by not, knowing that I'm going to use it? That's what I want to get to right now. So take a look at number 9. Comes along the Shach, and the Shach writes like this. He says, Avu levashlo mechatchilo b'kedeira shel basa kedeila achlo mechaytech asar afilu lahamechaber. Says the Shach, but to plan this out, to cook it in the pot with the intention of using it for milchiks, that you can't do. So according to the Shach, according to the Mechaber, you can't plan this out from the get-go. It would only be post-facto. But again, the chatchil, you can't say to yourself, listen, I know I'm going to make the meat, I'm going to make the noodles on Sunday with the fleishiks, and I know that I'm going to be able to use it because I learned the sugev not bar not. Can't do it. Why? Tavos. Where do you see that in the words of the Mechaber? You don't see that. What? Oh, so the lashon of the Mechaber sounds like post facto. That you did it, that means you can't do it l'chatchila. Now, this is very negay for Sfardim. Us Ashkenazim will see this is not so relevant, but for the Sfardim, this is very negay. Why? Because according to them, it would sound like, we just said 5 minutes ago, it would sound like you have a great chap to be able to use noodles for both meals, but according to this, you wouldn't be able to do it. Now the question is, does Sfardim paskin like the Shach? So if you take a look in the Kaf HaChaim, number 10, the Kaf HaChaim writes something interesting for historical purposes. He writes, Dogim shenis bashlo shenitzel b'gdeiru shel basa v'dafka im kvanis bashlo b'dievet motolchem. This is only after the fact. If after the fact I cooked it by mistake in the wrong pot, no, then I'd be allowed to eat it with the chaytich. So let's say, for example, for Sfardim, let's say b'dievet, right? B'dievet, you took out the wrong pot. You thought you were taking out a milchika pot, and really you took out a fleishika pot, and you cooked the noodles up in the pot. So no, then we let you eat it with the milchiks. But you may not plan it out. And he says, the Shach, pre-chadosh, a bunch of other people. Now here's the problem. The problem is that the Beis Yosef wrote another sefer called Bedek HaBayis. And on the Bedek HaBayis, he says not like that. So he writes, the Beis Yosef himself, the Bedek HaBayis, the Yosef Cairo writes otherwise. He writes that I can do it lechatchila. So says the Kaf HaChaim, how do I make that work? So that's what he says. Says the Kaf HaChaim, Nira, kishechibur ha-shulchan aruch chozeba, he wrote Shulchan Aruch afterwards. First he wrote by the Kabbais, and then he wrote Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, b'choyshesh l'divya oisrim levash l'chadchila. He says he changed his mind. When he came to writing Shulchan Aruch, he changed his mind. Right? This is always something interesting with the Shulchan Aruch, because you have to remember, the Shulchan Aruch wrote, let's say for example, he wrote Beis Yosef and he wrote Shulchan Aruch. So many times we have issues where he writes one thing in Beis Yosef and he writes something else in Shulchan Aruch. And we're like, well, it's the same person. What's going on with this? So we have to assume at some point, either he changed his mind, he was choshesh. So here the Kaf HaChaim wants to suggest that since he wrote Bedek HaBayis first, so first he thought X. And then he realized, no, I think it's not right. And therefore says the Kaf HaChaim, he changed his mind. And how do we know he changed his mind? Like David's diak. Why? Because he says, Val kein kasem b'shulchan aruch, loshem b'dieved. That's why the case of the Shulchan Aruch was, I already cooked it in the pot. What do I do now? So the answer is, now I'm allowed to eat it. That's why the Mechaber's loshem was b'dieved. Because the Chatchila, even the Mechaber holds you're not allowed to do it. And since we know, says the Kaf HaChaim, the order of when he wrote the Svarim, we know Bedek HaBayis is written first and Shulchan Aruch is written second. Therefore, we can make this work. So,
what considered to be the other? Let's say you only have one pot. You don't have more than one pot. Is that
B'dievet? No, it would sound like B'dievet means after the fact.
So
sometimes we have B'dievet is Shasat Chakid B'dievet Domi, right? Sometimes that would be true also. We're going to get to that a little later. Ramesh Shtemach has a tshuva like that. Ramesh Shtemach has a tshuva where he wants to know if a person made potatoes in a fleshing pot and now he wants to eat the potatoes with sour cream. So the guy has a whole chesed, but it's the only pot I had. Right? That's what we're going to hopefully get to at some point. Yeah, we'll see the Ramos Momachim. Yeah, we have to get there. Now, this is interesting. We know which order the Bedek HaBayis and the Shulchan Aruch was written. There's a big discussion amongst historians which parts of the Masechta did Rashi write in which order. Meaning, did Rashi write straight, or did Rashi jump around? Now, Adar Yom Hazeh, the historians are still fighting about this, to know when Rashi wrote what, to know, because we know, we sometimes have steers in Rashi. So the easy answer would be, is Rashi changed his mind. But we don't know which part of Shas Rashi wrote first, and which, and they're still fighting about it, the historians. But here we know. We know the Bedik HaBayis is written first, and we know the Shulchan Aruch is written second. So this is a Gavaldik HaChumra. This is a Chumra for Svadim. Right? However, interestingly enough, Yakut Yosef doesn't buy into it. Rebbe Vadja does not hold like this. Rebbe Vadja holds that Lechatchila a Svardi can cook pariva in a fleishig pot with the intention of using it with machlokes. That's a major, it's a major kula. So for, again, I don't know if all Svardim, those who follow Rebbe Vadja, so I'm not going to read it inside because we're very short on time as it is, but if you look in Yakut Yosef, he goes to all the people, and he grew out of quotes that most poets can hold like the Shach. That you're not allowed to do it lechatchila. But he says his father held not like that, and his Rebbe Vadja Kedaka Kodesh quoted many Svarim that say like him, and he wasn't overly impressed with the diak of the Mechaber, and he taka paskins, Rebbe Vadja and his son, both paskin, a Svardi may lechatchila cook pariva in a ben yoyma fleishig apat with the intention of eating it with Mechaks. Major, major cool. Kavachayim and the Shach say not like that. Rebbe Vadja says they could. But again, this only helps us for Achenu B'nei Svarad. So for the Svardim, it's much more makel, not bar not. Less problematic. What about us Ashkenazim? So if we quickly turn to the second page, let's see the Ramon and Shulchan Aruch. The Ramon writes in number 12, V'yesh machmirin, there are those that are machmir, b'tzliya u'bishol, whether it's roasted or cooked, Le'eser noy saying tam ba noy saying tam. There are those that are machmir and they aser, at least when it's bishul b'tzliya, not bar not. V'haminog la'aser lichatchila. Says the Ramon, that's what we do. We prohibit not bar not when it's cooked or roasted, at least lichatchila. U'bidiyeved mutter b'chol inyan. But b'diyeved, it's mutter under any circumstance. So this is also a big shayla. Which case is mutter b'chol inyan? Cooking, or tzli. That's a big machlokes achrenim as well.
Why not both?
Because we already saw in some rishonim that tzli is worse than cooking. So the question is, when the Ramah says b'diyeved everything is okay, does it mean b'diyeved both tzli and bishul, or b'diyeved only bishul? We'll see. That's a machlokes achrenim as well. Now, what does this mean? According to Ramah, everything is also not bar not lechatchila. What now? What's lechatchila? What's b'diyeved? Now, lechatchila means what? Lechatchila means I can't cook it initially, but if I already cooked it, then I could eat it with the milchiks. Or b'diyeved means if I already mixed it together. What's lechatchila? What's b'diyeved over here? We have to see. Says the Ramah, v'davka le'echol im cholov v'habaser atzmoi, aval litnon b'kli shalahem mutter. But you definitely be allowed to put it into another utensil. I mean, let's say, for example, I have pariva noodles that were made in a fleishig pot. Now I want to put those noodles into a milchika pot. Not a problem. Because that's already too many, too many. It's only a problem if I want to have these milchiks with direct cheese. But let's say, for example, I want to take these noodles that I cooked up in the parva pot and I want to put them, again, I parva noodles in a fleishika benyama pot. The noodles are piping hot and I need somewhere to put them. So, you know, I'm going to put them on the milchika plate. That would not be a problem. Even for us Ashkenazim. Okay? It would be a problem for us to eat it with noodle, with cheese, but to put it on a plate, that would not be a problem.
Because the plate is cold.
Because it's, again, okay, but the noodles are hot. Because again, that's too many. That's not by not, that too many removes. So
why can't you eat it with cheese on a cold plate?
No, because you're eating, the noodles are hot, they have tam basar, and you're going to eat cheese. You're going to be eating basar b'chol. V'chein nagu, v'chein amlein izbash, v'chein nisu t'chila rak olu b'kli shal basa mutl, okay. V'chein lehepach. Oh, this is the last line I want. V'chein ima ya kli shen izbash, v'chein nitzla boy, lifgam, shaloi hoya ben yoima. And let's say the kli was cooked and was an ena ben yoima. Again, I made the meatballs, Sunday. Monday I made the noodles. So now by the time I made the noodles, the pot is an ena ben yoima. The tam is pogum. It's lessened and worsened.
Now, is it 24 hours later? Or just
24 hours later from when the pot was used for hafleishiks, I made my hot parva noodles. Can I eat the noodles now with the milk? So the Ramah says, noya gim heter. We are noyik to be makel. So it would sound like that would not be a problem. Right?
So is any different than the Beis Yosef?
No, the Beis Yosef we're talking about is a ben yoima.
Oh, okay.
Svardim are makel when it's a ben yoima. We're makel when it's an ena ben yoima.
In that case,
Ah, that's what we got to get to. That's another machloikis between achroinim. So let's say I'm a smart Ashkenazi. I came to the shit tonight and I learned something called benyamim. So I say to myself, you know what? I'm going to take the pot on Monday that I used on Sunday, cook the noodles, and Tuesday, Wednesday night, I'll have noodles with... Okay, well, then the next time we come back to this, we're going to have to do part two. We're going to have to finish up to see how that works out with regard to lechatchila b'di'evet. B'li Nezer, after Hanukkah, we'll come back to B'li Nezer, we'll finish up.